Yo pude terminar un empate. Vos jugaste un toma vertical.
Hey, GNU listeners, welcome to A Public Affair. My name is Michelle Simpson, the host of Black Talk, that airs monthly on the second Thursday of every month at 8:30 a.m. Today, on A Public Affair, we will be talking to a very, very special guest who is coming to Boulder. More specifically, someone who will be appearing at the Boulder Public Library on Saturday, June the 4th at 11 o'clock a.m. More about that later, and more to be posted on the KGNU website. Our special guest today is Brian Pinckney. Welcome to A Public Affair, Brian. How are you?
Thank you, Michelle. It's great being here.
Thank you for joining us. Brian is an artist. More specifically, he's an award-winning illustrator and author. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Caldecott prizes, but Caldecott was established back in 1937. And Caldecott recognizes the most distinguished American picture books for children. And again, you were twice an awardee. You were a Coretta Scott King honoree four times and a Boston Globe Hornbook awardee as well. Am I leaving anything out in terms of all of your kind of accolades?
You know, sometimes I can't keep track of them, but the ones you got sound really good to me.
Okay, let's go with that then. Brian, you were first published in 1989. But my question is, what came first for you, illustrating books or authoring books? Or did that happen simultaneously?
Well, what came first for me was illustrating books. And that's basically because I grew up in a family. My father, Jerry Pinckney, very well-known illustrator, just passed away about 6 months ago. But he, you know, was always illustrating books ever since I was a child. So I was just brought up on books that he illustrated. And I was actually a model for many of the books. So
my father
would often, yes, he would often, you know, we weren't allowed to disturb him when he was working in his studio, which was always in our house.
Okay.
But he would love for me to come up and visit him. And I could watch him while he was making his books. And I might even model for some of the children that were in his books.
Oh my gosh. Now, was your dad a children's book illustrator?
He was an illustrator of everything. He did album covers, magazines, advertisements and books. He was always working on books at the same time.
Wow.
So being an illustrator, I was a visual learner also. That's how I see the world visually and interpret it that way. So illustrating came first.
Okay.
And then the writing came later. Yeah.
Came later. Huh. How interesting. So your books, your illustrations primarily, not solely, but primarily portray Black children and adults. So my question is, when you were attending the University of the Arts in Philadelphia, you also were at the School of Visual Arts in New York City, did you decide then that you wanted to not only be an illustrator, but that you wanted to portray Black children and adults?
Oh, that's a good question. I think when I went to University of the Arts in Philadelphia, I was learning how to be an illustrator. You know, I was training in how you sketch, how you meet the goals of an assignment, of a project. And that could range from any topic. Growing up as a son of Jerry Pinckney, he was always doing, he did postage stamps of African-American heroes and sheroes. He, you know, he was always promoting Black culture and history. You know, we grew up in Boston during the Civil Rights Movement. So that was always a forefront of his artwork. And it just became a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
When I have my master's degree at the School of Visual Arts, the program was illustration as visual essays. So it was really, how do we want to tell stories with images? And most of the stories became personal. So depending on what, you know, what's personal to different students, me, my personality was, I wanted to narrate, you know, everything was somewhat autobiographical, you know, and as a Black man, it was important for me to be doing images that reflected that.
Okay.
And, you know, my take on the world, my experience of the world, and that I think translated into the children's books where I saw a need for, you know, young Black children to see themselves in books, to see their history in books, to learn from past great figures in history, as well as to get in touch with their imagination and wonder of their own childhood and integrate these books that would be like, you know, companions and friends to them where they could see themselves in books, because there weren't many books when I started out with African-Americans in them.
You know, when I open a children's book that you have written, illustrated, or both, unless it's one of your older works. I know Brian Pinckney was the illustrator. I mean, your characters are very distinct. Your backgrounds have a signature look, the hair, you know, of the children and the adults, most especially the children. I think I really focused in on them, the colors that you use, the body types. Again, they are distinctly and memorably yours, Brian Pinckney's. And so when I look at these images, when I kind of read the words, you know, I feel really uplifted looking at these brown and black faces that are looking back at me. I also feel, I must say, a little sad that as a little girl, I was such a voracious reader. I didn't see myself in books. I didn't see myself in books positively. Let's put it that way. I saw caricatures of Black people, but I didn't see myself in books positively until I was in my 20s. Are you writing and illustrating the books you wanted to see as a kid?
I'm writing and illustrating the books that I want to create as an adult for a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had books around me because my father had done so many. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know was that my father was a rare few that were doing books about the African-American and Black experience. But I always had his books around, and he was probably doing at least one a year. So, you know, and then I think in terms of my own self-esteem, it was always being fed by him in these books. And he made sure the few books that were out there about Black folks, I got a copy of. Mm-hmm. So I did see myself. And now I'm continuing that probably from a place of self-expression and, you know, kind of a gift to the world and to children, mm-hmm. you know, of color. And you know, my books are also windows for people who aren't Black or African-American.
Of course,
brown,
of course.
You know, which is important also, but that's not the main thing. But that is, you know, the predominant culture is looking at these books from a place of looking in. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that I want to give them the experience of, you know, the Black experience. It's more that I want to make beautiful stories. Mm-hmm. And these beautiful stories are about beautiful Black and brown people. Mm-hmm. And that I think comes through. But I always want my stories to have heart, to communicate, to be nurturing in a way, especially for younger children, because I think that's really important for them to have books that they can like carry around with themselves and mm-hmm. feel like it's a friend, you know, who they can like learn from and enjoy.
You know, Toni Morrison said, if there's a book that you want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it. And she also said that she wrote her first novel because she wanted to read it. And so, you know, as you're talking about your self-expression and how it manifests in the books you illustrate and also the books that you've authored, that's who I'm reminded of. That's what I'm reminded of. You know, in some of your books, I noticed, such as the ones you've collaborated on with your wife, Andrea Pinckney, they sometimes offer guidance to parents on parenting and how to kind of be with their children when reading those books. So whether or not the audience is a caregiver or a babysitter or a teacher, whomever, but there seems to be some advice or instruction, guidance, if you will, on kind of creating the environment, you know, creating the atmosphere to partake of your illustrations, to partake of, again, the words on the page, sometimes written by Andrea, your wife. Was that intentional? Did that come from feedback you received from readers? How did that come about?
Well, that's a good question. I think it came about from several different sources. One is my wife, Andrea, was an editor at Essence magazine before she became a children's book author and illustrator, and she saw the need.
Got
because
it.
She was an editor there, and she was reading books and looking for books mm-hmm. For the family guide, I think. And I think as a communicator, being in magazines, and she has a journalism background, she always wants to be communicating and making sure her words are heard and kind of used. I think in terms of the parenting, you know, we were both so enthralled with our children and when they were growing up. And I read every parenting book that ever existed, I think. And I really wanted to be there for them, you know, and my studio was in the house. So I was around when they were growing up and spent a lot of time with them. So this idea of communicating and through my pictures, through the stories, and what is it that children need and will value, not just as a learning tool, but as a nurturing tool. Mm-hmm. So I think our books, we both want our books to to do that. And then I think Andre even added, like in some of the books, you know, examples of how the books can be used.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I want to go back for a moment. You were talking about your dad, and again, my condolences for your loss. But thinking back to the books that you've read, that you were exposed to through your dad, can you give us an example or tell us a remembrance, give us a remembrance of a book of his, a book that perhaps he illustrated that really left an impression on you?
Oh, okay. Oh, there's so many. You know, he did a book which was, I can't remember the title, but it was about a little boy that went fishing and had to catch fish. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it left an impression on me because this child had such a vivid imagination. And I think, and the drawings were so beautiful, the way my dad rendered fish. So, and I saw him actually creating it. So the idea of him actually creating the books made a connection. Mm-hmm. Taiwan and the Eagle, I think, is another book about a boy that could fly or wanted to fly with eagles. Ooh. And I remember modeling for that, where I had to, like, you know, dress up and act like I was flying. so, you know, those books are very important to me. You know, he also brought a lot of books in by Tom Feelings, who was a Black illustrator at the time. You know, there was Ezra Jack Keats, you know, Snowy Day, which Ezra Jack Keats isn't African-American, yet his main character was. And that was a book that came out in 1963, which is very pivotal. And, you know, and again, a positive image of a little Black boy playing in the snow.
Oh, I love that. Is there an association of Black illustrators? Are there, and this is my naivete, are there enough to be in an association?
Well, we know each other. We all know each other. There's a Society of Illustrators that we're all probably a member of, but there is no association for just Black illustrators, but we do all know each other. Okay. And it's probably like two hands, maybe we can count them.
You know, you are surrounded by stories and characters, but is your work lonely?
I'm surrounded by imaginary characters that I'm having interactions with all day long. So there's a little crowd around me always in my head. And it's interesting. I like presenting. I like getting out in front of people. Mm-hmm. So that's like a part of me. And then there's a part of me that needs to go inside my studio where it's just me. Mm-hmm. And all my characters and my paints and books and references, and I'm just playing, you know.
What does a work day look like for you?
A work day for me, and it's interesting you use the word work, you could call it a play date.
Okay, I'll take that.
Because I get up really early now. I get up about 6 and I get to the studio by 7. Mm-hmm. And you know, I may do yoga, I may dance, I may read, I may look, spread out all the work that I have to do for the day. You know, go on Instagram, just a little teeny bit. Uh-huh. And, you know, read inspirational books and start wandering amongst my art, you know. So I will be maybe sketching, looking at images that I made the day before. And I, you know, make myself some breakfast. And, you know, just keep going on and off. Maybe go outside for a walk around the park. Or yesterday I was painting all day and I thought it was going to rain and it didn't. And I thought, I can make it to the beach. So I made a quick dash to the beach for like a half hour before.
Which one?
You know, it took me half hour to get there. I went to Reese Beach.
Oh, Reese.
Which
okay.
is, yeah.
I just asked.
Yeah, because I'm in Brooklyn, you know.
Like, no. That's why I thought you may have. But then I thought, well, maybe he ventured out to Jones Beach because I grew up going to Jones Beach almost every day. So I was just.
Well, I love Jones Beach. I would do that if I had a little more time. But I was leaving the studio at about 3:30.
Got it. What is the book that you haven't illustrated? What is the book that you haven't authored? And maybe you're noodling that now. Maybe you're thinking about that now. Or maybe you're not, but what is that topic, those children, what are they talking about? What are they doing?
You know, so the book there's always books in progress, maybe about 10 you know, sketches that came to me like 20 years ago in a cafe somewhere, or, you know, just a couple lines that come to me and I write them down. And so there's about 10. Sometimes I forget them. Sometimes I refine them. And they usually end up somehow growing, you know, over time. Like the book I just did is actually about an otter and a beaver, which is, you know, two animals. But it was based on otters like to play and beavers like to work, you know, and this idea of like either the two sides of me or, you know, my wife who likes to work and I like to play, or the different ways we play in water, you know, I like to do, you know, flips and handstands. She likes to swim laps, you know, and what happens when they come together, and this idea that, you know, this otter and the beaver end up, you know, playing, one builds the dam and the otter ends up playing with the sticks and ends up breaking the dam, and it all has to be rebuilt again.
Exactly.
And I, you know, I was doing that during the pandemic, and I thought that's an interesting idea that is going to be introduced to children. This idea of, you know, like things can get messy and can be put back together again. And you, as a person that likes to go to the beach, understands that you build a sandcastle, you put all your heart into it, knowing the waves are going to wash it away at some point, but then we can build another one. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of the message in that book. Another book I'm working on at the moment is a book about a father and a son. And it's very ironic because I got offered this story because it was a book my father was working on before he died.
Oh, okay.
And it's a story about a son whose father dies.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's bizarre how this came together. And the son goes for a walk in the woods that his father used to always take. You know, it starts out him missing his father. And he ends up going on a journey, learning about his father in these woods. So as I'm working on the book, I'm actually going on a journey learning about my dad. I have to combine our styles in a way that's, you know, magical and exciting and mysterious and scary all at the same time. So this is, you know, a very touching book. I couldn't have asked for it, but the universe or God brought it to me. And, you know, it's bringing life to me and an understanding of my dad at the same time.
Can you tell us about at least one thing that you've discovered about your dad and yourself?
You know, he wrote a lot. Like I was, he was an illustrator, but he has pages and pages of notes and poems that he wrote about the walks in the woods. And this book is actually a collaboration with Nikki Grimes, who's actually doing the writing. And they're actually going to go on walks in woods together to work on this book together. So a lot of it, I guess the idea came from her, and I still need to ask her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. What is something, Brian, because you were talking about enjoying kind of being out there and speaking with readers and other members of the public and so forth. What is something memorable a Black child or a caregiver perhaps, or teacher of a Black child has said to you about your books or about your illustration, something that you just remember?
You know, I remember a few. I remember being at a book signing just a couple months ago in Texas. And it was a mother and a son that came up to me.
Okay.
The son was older. He looked like he was in his 20s. And his mother came up to me and she said, "My son couldn't read. And your book, Max Found Two Sticks, is the first book he ever read." And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And he's autistic, you know, he was there, you know, grown man, and he and he's a drummer now.
Oh my gosh.
And this book is about a drummer, a boy that becomes a drummer. So that was really kind of touching and moving.
Of course.
Yeah.
Any other kind of comment?
So a comment that a child made once, I asked the question when I go to school visits, is like, you know, where do you get ideas from? You know, people say, oh, from the library, from my memories, from things that I see, TV, movies. And someone said, he said something I couldn't hear quite well. I said, wait, excuse me, could you say that again? He said, my heart. I said, what? He said, my heart. His ideas come from the heart. And I mean, I've been presenting for years and I had never heard that, yet that's true of my books. They come from my heart. And it was nice, this idea that this child was connected with his heart and that he, I guess, knew how to access what were the feelings that inspired him. And that was a beautiful thing.
How did you find, I'm getting into kind of the technical aspect of illustrating, and I hope I pronounce this correctly. Is it pronounced gouache. It's a type of painting. Did I get it right? Or am I, what's that? Gouache. I was way off. Okay. I know what it kind of looks like. Clearly don't know what it sounds like. How did you discover that? Is that your primary medium?
You know what? I work in a lot of mediums, and I was working in scratchboard for a while, which you may look at the earlier books, which is like a whiteboard come with black ink. I'm scratching it with a very sharp tool where I scratch the black ink off, and it shows the white underneath.
Got it.
We kids do that in school, where they put color crayons down and put black crayon and scratch it away. And then I would add paint on top of it. And I would try watercolor, you know, different paints. And at one point, I think I was scratching off the sky, and it was taking me like hours to scratch off all the black. I was like, you know what? If I use like a thick paint that's opaque, I don't have to scratch it off. So I think I put gesso down and put gouache on top of that. And I think that was my first introduction to gouache. And now I like gouache because I'm able to go back in with my new style as I'm working with gouache as an underpainting, which is very bright and a little flat. And then I add the line with a black ink called India ink and a very thin brush. So I'm drawing. So my style has gone through a lot of different transformations over the years. And now I'm working, it seems like gouache. But then again, I can start a book and, no, I want to use acrylic this time. Or what about my old watercolors? You know, I want to bring those out. And then I combine them sometimes also.
So let me ask you this. I'm sure we have listeners out there who are thinking, well, wait a minute. Next time I go to the library or the bookstore, you know, I'm going to look this Brian Pinkney up. What might you recommend? And I'm asking you to pick now your favorite child, but can you name a book title or two that you would suggest to newbies, Brian Pinkney newbies, to, you know, try and locate?
Well, you know, I think it would start with what their interests are. So they have young children. I would definitely look at the books that I've authored and illustrated, you know, as an author. Brian Pinkney, they're most of my books for younger kids, you know, like my wife and I just did a series for babies. So also look up Andre Davis Pinkney. We also have books for older kids, which are more like nonfiction books about Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Alvin Ailey.
And what age group are you talking about? So when you say
These groups, I would say older, I would say like third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders.
Okay.
And then my wife has like a book called, we have a book called Martin Rising about Martin Luther King. Which is also for older kids, you know, the 8, 9, 10. There's lots of books that are depending on the age range that you're looking for, because that's going to be important.
Got it. All right. Well, kind of lastly, Brian, I wanted to ask you, kind of what's the invitation that you would like to extend to, I was going to say all the children, but forget that, everybody, everybody in Boulder County, uncles and cousins and aunts and whoever else, you know, is inclined to show up on June the 4th at 11 o'clock a.m. At the Boulder Public Library. What's your invitation? In other words, what can we expect, or what can be unexpected? Just kind of share your invitation to those of us who are excited about you coming to town.
Okay, my invitation, I guess, in me coming to town is to just experience my wonder and imagination and how they came into me making books. And my presenting of the books ought to be entertaining, because I've heard that I'm extremely entertaining and a bit of a performer. So it will be interactive in a lot of ways, which is unexpected. Okay. That's why I won't tell you what to expect.
That's unexpected. That's okay.
And educational. And it's for all ages. You know, like I have a way of communicating with little tiny babies who are there, as well as adults. If I see people, I want to communicate and I want to connect. And I want to do that through my books, so that people are excited to want to read. And when I mean read, I mean also read and look at the pictures.
I thought that was my last question, but it's not. What are you reading right now?
You know, I'm reading many books, but one of my favorites, I'm just rereading this book, it's called Morning Girl. is by Michael Doris, and it's also a book about
Michael Doris. Oh my God. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, I just love the language of this book, you know, his words, his understanding of, again, parenting, you know, it's a, you know, a Native American family.
Yes.
I guess right before Christopher Columbus comes to America. And just the boy, you know, I just relate to him, Star Boy. I relate to him so much because I'm a Star Boy. You know, I love staying up at night and just using my imagination. And and his little relationship with his sister is beautiful too.
You know, I've not read that book by him, but I was introduced to Michael Doris via nonfiction. He wrote a book called The Broken Cord about fetal alcohol syndrome, and a very meaningful book. To members of my family and myself. So when you said that, it's like, oh my gosh, I've not heard anybody utter his name in forever. So I cry
every time I read this book, like several times.
Gosh. And it's called Morning Girl?
Morning Girl.
Okay, I will have to get my hands on it. But Brian Pinkney, it has been my pleasure to get a chance to chat with you, to preliminarily chat with you before we, you know, came on air today. And I'm really looking forward to you coming to Boulder Public Library. Again, that date is June the 4th. I will be there, and we will post more information about this on the KGNU website. And again, thank you so much for coming on A Public Affair.
You're welcome.
Your time. And I'm excited. So listeners, mark your calendars, and we'll look forward to seeing you on June the 4th.
Great. Thank you. Great talking with you.
Thank you so, so much. Freedom is a courage to take on the